of Commerce Candidate Forum. I am Shannon Landauer, the Executive Director of the Carroll Chamber of Commerce and Carroll Area Development Corporation. I'm excited to bring this candidate forum to you this evening. I'm here with your moderator, Trish Roberts, member of the Carroll Chamber of Commerce Legislative Committee, and joining us is Hubert Hageman, our timekeeper and member of the Legislative Committee as well. We're pleased to bring you the candidates tonight for the upcoming election. For Mayor, Dr. Eric Jensen, Councilperson at Large, Jerry Fleschner, Councilperson Ward 3, Clay Haley and Jane Ludwig, and Ward 1 Councilperson Mike Kotz is unable to attend this evening. He is running unopposed for this seat. These individuals will be on the ballot Tuesday, November 7th for Carroll. Our purpose here tonight is to help you get to know the candidates and to allow the candidates an opportunity to present their views on issues that are important to our community. We thank you to all of the candidates for joining us, and we'll let them introduce themselves momentarily in opening statements. Please silence your cell phones as this is broadcast live tonight on KIC 106.7 FM. Listeners at home, you can call or text your questions tonight to be asked to 712-790-3584. I'd like to introduce now Trish Roberts.
Thank you, Shannon, and welcome candidates. We are going to begin tonight with our opening statements, and we're going to start at the end of the table nearest me with Clay Haley.
Good evening, and thank you to the Chamber for providing this opportunity for us candidates to interface with the people who we serve and look to serve in the future. Once again, my name is Clay Haley. I am currently the Ward 3 councilperson on the Carroll City Council. It has been my privilege to serve for the last 4 years, and I am really proud of many of the things that we've been able to accomplish at the council. I was born here in Carroll in 1977. I was raised in Wall Lake and moved back to Carroll in 2009. I have two children, Jackson, who's 6, and Lauren, who's 14. I live on the south side of town, and it really is my privilege to be here. I do also own and operate Haley Equipment. If you have any questions, we'd love to hear from you tonight, both in the stands and also at home.
Thank you. Gene Ludwig.
Thanks to the Carroll Chamber and the Legislative Committee for sponsoring this discussion. My husband Neil and I have made our home in Carroll for 51 years. We have 4 children and 2 grandchildren. I've been a member of the Chamber Board, the first woman admitted to the Carroll Rotary, and the president of the Carroll Rotary. Currently, I'm on the City Planning and Zoning Committee, the Holy Spirit Finance Board, and Chamber Legislative Committee, among other offices. My formal education is in nursing. My working career has involved nursing, but gradually progressed into business. In 2012, I retired as a financial advisor at Bank of the West here in Carroll. The basic tenets of my nursing background have served me well. They are, first, listening well; second, defining the problem and discussing potential solutions; and third, putting the chosen solutions into effect, either as a team or as an individual. My contribution to the City Council using those same tenets would be a unique, fresh, and challenging look at each project. Having lived through the urban renewals of the 70s and seeing the excellent benefits, I believe we must judge each decision for its long-term effects. Speaking of unique and fresh, I believe that time is a commodity we need to emphasize here in Carroll. You can drive from one end of town to the other in 10 minutes if the trains cooperate. Think about your family members who live in cities. Are they like mine? They travel to work as much as 45 minutes each way, plus 45 minutes to soccer games, dance, and volleyball. In a month, a person who has traveled even 30 minutes to their jobs 5 days a week will have spent more than a whole day each month just driving and probably in traffic. People take it for granted that's what they have to do because that's where the jobs are. So my solution to this problem is to bring jobs to Carroll, well-paying jobs. How do we do that? Stay tuned. I'll talk to you more about that later.
Thank you. Dr. Eric Jensen.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Eric Jensen. I'm currently serving as mayor of Carroll. I moved back here in 1995 and started a practice and currently working at McFarland Clinic. I have two children, Soren and Arrington. One's at Wayne State, Soren is at Wayne State currently, and my daughter is a senior at high school at Carroll High. At the present time, it's been an honor and privilege to serve as mayor and the previous 4 years as a council person. And we have a significant agenda, I think, in front of us over the next 2 years that I think that we can get a lot more things accomplished here in town. And that should be it. I'll pass it on to Jerry. Thank you.
Thank you. And Jerry Fleschner.
I want to extend my thanks to the Chamber of Commerce for hosting this event and the press for covering the event, and to all of you that committed the time to attend this evening. Now, I'm Jerry Fleschner, and I am currently serving as an at-large Carroll City Council person, and I'm running to serve a second term. I'm a 1975 graduate of Carroll High School and a 1980 graduate of the University of Iowa with a degree in pharmacy. I currently own Lincoln Highway Pharmacy and the Clinic Pharmacy of Carroll, both here in town. I'm very proud to have raised three children here in Carroll. My daughter, Jessica, has two children, and she currently lives in San Diego, where her husband, Chris, serves in the Navy. It's their hope to one day live here in Carroll. My son, Brian, is a dentist. He and his wife, Scarlett, have two children, and they've chosen to raise them here in Carroll. My son, Matthew, is a pharmacist, and he, too, has chosen to live here in Carroll. I'm running as a candidate with no axe to grind. I don't have a specific agenda, and I'm certainly not a one-issue candidate. I'm here to weigh options and determine what is best for the people of Carroll. None of the issues put forth to me in the past, and there have been many, has given me any cause to reconsider the approach I've had. I respect everyone's opinion, and I consider it a privilege to serve the public. I do have a vision of steady growth for our city, and I'm going to strive to keep it clean, vibrant, and safe. It is my sincere hope that future generations will come to appreciate Carroll as a wonderful place to raise a family, just as I did. And I'd ask that you please take your vote very seriously in this election, and that you find that Jerry Fleschner is the right candidate for you to vote for. Thank you.
Thank you. Michael Kotz is unable to be here tonight because of a previous engagement, and so he did submit a written statement, and I do plan to read that at this time. Good evening. I am Michael Kotz, and I am running for re-election to Ward 1 for the Carroll City Council. I have been serving as your representative for 6 years now, and am seeking your support to continue serving an additional term. Thank you for allowing me to relay this information to you via a proxy, as I am out of town today on a prior commitment. I am a veteran and have served this great country of ours for 26 years. After retiring, I realized how much I missed being involved and in making decisions on matters of importance, which is why I initially sought out a seat on the City Council. I am running for re-election mainly for the ability to see some of those decisions through and to continue to serve as your representative on future decisions. I am committed to seeing the long-fought battle over the library come to fruition. This is not an automatic, nor is it finalized. There is still work to be done. If you are part of the supermajority that passed the bond referendum vote for the library, I need your vote to help me see that through. I believe in public safety and quality of life. I am passionate about a good sidewalk system, and I am passionate about train horn mitigation. I believe we need a city maintenance facility to properly care for and store our city vehicles. There are several issues I would like to continue to work on following a win on November 7th. Many feel that running unopposed is an automatic re-election, which is not necessarily true. I have a deep commitment to the election process and believe every citizen should participate in this right. That is why it is so important for you to get out and vote on November 7th. So I'll briefly go through our rules for the evening. Questions will be asked throughout the evening. Some questions have been provided in advance, and we also want you to know that you'll have the opportunities to submit questions. Members of the Legislative Committee will be circulating to pick those up. So please share your ideas for questions. Candidates will have 1 minute to respond to the questions. A candidate may elect not to respond to a question. And if there is the opportunity for clarification, 30 seconds will be provided for that. And Hubert is our timekeeper here, and we will watch that red sign coming up. At the end of our question time, all candidates will have 1 minute for closing comments, and we will go in the reverse order as our opening comments. So I think that is the overview of the rules, and we're going to go ahead and begin. So I'm going to ask a question of both Mr. Haley and Mrs. Ledwig, the contested candidates. The question is, and Mr. Haley, I'd like you to start, why are you running for elected office in Carroll?
Thank you, Trish. I am running for office in Carroll for my second term in order to continue the service I've been privileged to provide. I look to be a member of the Carroll community the rest of my life. I hope for my children to reside here and my children's children. Carroll is home for me now. I wish to be here and make it a better place for all in a very responsible manner for our entire tax base, all the people of Carroll.
Thank you. Mrs. Ledwig, why are you running for elected office in Carroll?
I have, as I said, lived here for 50 years and have enjoyed all of the comforts of this wonderful community. And I hope to be able to help promote those comforts to others and also to serve the people who live here.
Thank you. Okay, this will be a question for each of our candidates, beginning with Jerry Fleschner. What is your 10-year vision for this community, and how do you plan to be a part of realizing that vision?
My 10-year vision, well, how I'm going to be a part of it, I'm sorry. Thank you, Eric.
My 10-year vision and how I'm going to be a part of that, I'm doing that right now by running for city council for my second term. And I don't think there's a place you can have more influence on the future than being on the city council here, because we have a significant budget that we have to determine, and we represent a lot of people with that. My 10-year vision is, I would say, slow and steady growth and improvement in infrastructure is the most important to me. I don't think it would be in the best interest of the public for Carroll to go from the 10,000 people that we have now to 40,000. That would be too fast of growth in 10 years, but I would like to see the population increase somewhat to improve our tax base so that we can have improve our infrastructure and get some newer facilities. And in that case, I think I'd bring up the rec center as one place I'd like to improve within the next 10 years, and certainly sooner.
Thank you. Dr. Jensen, what is your 10-year vision for this community, and how do you plan to be a part of realizing that vision?
I guess my 10-year vision started about 6 years ago when I ran as a council person. And at that time, the vision that I looked at was a remodel of the merchants facility, which we've been able to get accomplished. Another one was the increase in the water wells, the transmission stuff, and I think that is close to coming to a fruition, coming to an end. Improvement of the infrastructure, and I think having streets and sidewalks, the trail system, we're slowly progressing and getting that done. It is a slow progression, but it's coming. I would also like to see, again, increase in business growth. I look around at some of the communities that are surrounding us, and I see that, you know, there is some stagnation, and I don't want Carroll to do that. I think we are a hub of culture. We certainly have that ability to continue to keep growing, and that's where I would like to see us go over the next 10 years. I don't know if I'll be here in the seat in 10 years, but if I have that privilege, I will continue to see it grow. Thank you.
Thank you. Gene Ludwig, what is your 10-year vision for this community, and how do you plan to be a part of realizing this vision?
I would hope that our city would have more small businesses being moved back to this area, moved to this area, begun here or moved back. And I would like to be a part of that by helping to encourage our alumni from our two schools to come back here and move their businesses or come themselves and start a new business.
Thank you. And Clay Haley, what is your 10-year vision for this community, and how do you plan to be a part of realizing that vision?
Well, Carol, in 10 years will still be a very important part of my life, and I'll be very engaged with it. I can see a Carol that works with the communities surrounding us, this wonderful region that we're a hub for, helping to continue the heritage of not only Carol, but our surrounding area and the communities around us. How will we get there? We'll work together. The city council, the chamber, members of the community, pulling together to find ways to bring people into our community from our surroundings, and also make our community continue to be the progressive, wonderful place that Carol is, and bring in the people from the cities as well, our young people who we all look forward to having back to be professionals in the area, to help grow the tax base and to make the town continue to grow slow, steady, and well.
Thank you. And just a reminder, we have questions that are coming from the audience. We have questions that have been prepared ahead of time, and we have questions that are coming from our radio listening audience. And so some of our questions will be directed to all four candidates here, and some will be directed specifically. This next question is to all four candidates. And we're going to begin with Dr. Jensen. What would be the one quality of life issue that you would change, and how would you approach this? I'll say it one more time. What would be the one quality of life issue that you would change, and how would you approach this?
The one quality of life, it's a broad question. I think about the most is recreation for the community, health, physical fitness, being in the field that I'm in, and just seeing the opportunity that we had recently of just putting in the trail system on this side of town. And immediately the visibility of people using it right away. It hasn't even been backfilled, and people are already out using it. And I think that's one of the qualities that that I see about Carol. If you build it, people are going to use that stuff. And so other projects that we have in the future, I think, need some consideration, and that being the rec center. I think it has been one of those that need some help, and I think we could get that accomplished. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerry Fleshner, what would be the one quality of life issue that you would change, and how would you approach this?
It's always best to be the person that's answering second. It puts that first one. Causes you to think a little quickly. I had a little more time to think. And if there's anything in the town that I would like to improve that would be a quality of life issue, it's a place that's already begun to improve, and that would be what I call the Graham Park area, which includes the rec center that Eric referred to. And we've seen some great improvements in the Graham Park, and it can become, I think, a centerpiece for the community, a focus that people can say, I know Carol, that's the place that has that terrific park. And all of the things that we've got that we've improved there. I'll start with the skate park that's there now, that's been in there. That's a unique facility that not many places have. And we've been talking about Kellen's Kingdom, another area. But there's many things. I see my time is coming up, but there are a lot of growth issues we can have in the in that district.
Thank you. Clay Haley, what would be the one quality of life issue that you would change, and how would you approach this?
Jerry stole mine. I think he's exactly right, and tagging on to what Dr. Jensen said also is the development of the Graham Park area. We have this wonderful grand vision that we've been working with Iowa State University to develop, where now we've overhauled Merchants Park. What a beautiful facility we have. Graham Park has always been a jewel. The band shell has been worked over. Kellen's Kingdom's coming. We've got the football stadium that the school's getting done. Like I said earlier, this is how the community works together to make things happen. And it'd be a wonderful thing for anyone to stop down at City Hall and check out. There are some really awesome renderings of what we can do in the Graham Park District to tie that entire area together and make it a true jewel for Carroll.
Thank you. And Jean Ludwig, what would be the one quality of life issue that you would change, and how would you approach this?
I agree with the fact that the rec center is one of the centerpieces of the of our town. It's something that most towns our size don't have, and I think keeping it up to date and improving it is important. The thing about it is that we need to keep our taxpayers in mind with any kind of improvement that we're going to do, and so that would be my a big concern as well.
Thank you. Okay, the next question relates to the library project and is directed toward Dr. Jensen. How much of the necessary $2.5 million in donations are projected to be received in 2017 for the proposed library? And the second part of that question is, if these donations are not received, what is the next step you recommend?
The expectation is that we should be close to about $2 million. There is a process by which some individuals that are making donations are allowed a five-year payment plan. What we're hoping for is that the majority of the funds will be coming in. We still have some time yet. The library foundation still has time yet as far as collecting grants and whatnot. If not all the money is collected, I think that's going to have to be a collective discussion amongst all the council and myself and on where we have to go with that next. We should be getting some preliminary figures within the next month or so. We were 6 months ahead of that vote, and so not everything is all arranged yet, but we'll be close. Thank you.
Thank you. So the next question will be directed to each of our candidates, and it is simply, where do you stand with the library decision? And we're going to begin with Jean Ludwig. Would you tell us where you stand with the library decision?
I feel that the vote has been held. The bargain has been made between the voters of Carroll and the foundation board, and I have every expectation that that both sides will live up to their end of the deal. And so that includes raising the $2.5 million and the bond from the side of the taxpayers.
Thank you. Jerry Fleschner, where do you stand with the library decision?
I will stand on the side of the voters that already voted, I would say overwhelmingly, for the concept that was presented in our bond referendum. We had close to 62% favored a project, and I haven't had a lot of people contact me that wouldn't be what their desire still is, so I have every intention of living up to our part of the bargain and continuing forth with the plan that has been voted on.
Clay Haley, where do you stand with the library decision?
I absolutely support the voters' decision to move forward with the library plan as is. I fully intend for us council people to remain engaged, help to keep the costs down as much as we possibly can. I have no doubt that the Library Foundation will make their $2.5 million contribution. I see great things in our future for the library.
Thank you. And Dr. Jensen, where do you stand with the library decision?
We had a legal election, and the bond issue was presented to the people. I'm going to fulfill the will of the voters. It is one of those that it. This is one of those things that's it continues to be a contentious issue with individuals within the community. To go back and reverse again what our voters have said makes no sense, and I don't think that is possible to do. The voters have spoken. This has been an issue for the last 20 years, and hopefully now this can come to an end. And as mayor, it's my job to facilitate and continue to make sure that all of that this issue continues to go through, along with other issues that are important to the community. And I guess I'm going to still stand behind what the voters have said, and that's where we need to continue to go. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to switch gears here just a little bit, and we're going to talk a little bit about our local economy, housing, and some of the things that are related to that. So we'll have several questions, and at this point, most of them will be directed to all four of you. So the first question, and Jerry Fleshner, you can start preparing here. With the unemployment rate being so low and many positions available in Carroll, how can the city be part of the solution?
I'm going to have you repeat it real quick just to...
With the unemployment rate being so low and many positions available in Carroll, how can the city be part of the solution?
The way the city can help facilitate increased growth of employment is or employee things would be like our latest TIF project that brought some special jobs into the town already, and we have the brewery coming up, and this whole area was enhanced by us as a council supporting it with a TIF project, tax incremental financing, and I think that worked very well for that. And if other opportunities similar to that come along that we can get jobs like has been created in that area, I'm all for that.
Thank you. And next, Clay Haley. With the unemployment rate being so low and many positions available in Carroll, how can the city be part of the solution?
The city continues to strategically work to bring more people into our community, more workforce. We've recently completed a housing study of the entire county. We've seen upticks in housing growth, and I really believe that workforce is our key issue over the next 5-10 years here in Carroll. We've got to work to draw people into the community. We have been working at that. We'll continue to work hard at that behind the scenes as well as out in front of the camera. Things are getting better all the time. We have a wonderful plan to enhance the community as well as to help keep our taxes low. We keep working together hand in hand with the chamber, CADC, Region 12. We've got tons of people working on this project, and it takes all of us to work together to make housing as well as workforce grow here in Carroll.
Thank you. Dr. Jensen, with the unemployment rate being low and many positions available in Carroll, how can the city be a part of the solution?
We have been working kind of on that for the last several years. I'm not a big government person. I don't think it's exactly all on the back of the city that this needs to be done. I think we need to work on some collaborative efforts between businesses and what the state of Iowa allows communities and government to do to provide the things like Jerry had talked about. With the TIF and the businesses that we brought in, there's small things that are coming. Larger things, I think, are there may be some larger things in the works. It's going to have to be a collaborative effort. It's not going to be all on the back of the city. And those things that we can get done, we'll try and work as best as we can, or whatever we can do as a city to work to get them to get here. But it's not going to be all on, I'm not a big government person, I guess. So it'll be between private and public. Thank you.
Thank you. And Gene Ludwig, with the unemployment rate being low and many positions available in Carroll, how can the city be a part of the solution?
I think that the city can be very active in recruiting more people to move to Carroll. You know, 49.2% of America's workforce is employed by small business, and we need more small businesses, and they will bring good paying jobs. When you have good paying jobs, you will get people to come.
Thank you. And just a reminder, if you have questions here in the audience, you may submit those to legislative committee members, and our radio audience is also invited to submit questions. So we have another question. It's a bit long, and I promise I will not reread it completely in between each of you. A recent projection by the American City Business Journals shows the Des Moines metro area growing significantly by 2040, but showing the city of Carroll losing 11.8%, which would put us at 8,700 residents. This would be devastating to the economy and future of Carroll. What will you do to make sure that Carroll not only does not lose residents, but shows growth that can compete with Des Moines and other cities pulling from rural Iowa? And so, Gene Ludwig, we're going to start with you this time.
This is kind of right down my alley, because I really think that we need to work closely with the alumni of our schools. We have well over 10,000 alumni from Kemper. We have well over 10,000 alumni from Carroll High. How many of these people don't have businesses where they live? How many of them wouldn't like to have the ability to come closer to home if they could find a place to set up their business and hire people? And I think that a very targeted approach to locating these people, we all know them. It's time for us to get them talked into coming back this direction. We've got everything you need here, after all.
Thank you. Dr. Jensen.
I always like studies that project things that may not ever come true, but you know, it's not an article that I'm familiar with. As a critical thinking individual, I would like to see the statistics on that before I would make any judgment, but sometimes it's easier to project doom and gloom than it is to project the possibility of the growth. I think Carroll has been an icon in West Central Iowa for a long time. There's a lot of people that know about the community. I've been all over places, and I always come across individuals from Carroll, and people, I think, understand how good it is. I think if we continue with a strong chamber, we continue with strong business growth, continue with a strong development corporation, and again, all of those entities working together with the council and the city staff, I think we have that ability to get that and probably maybe undercut that. Thank you.
Clay Haley.
I love this question. This relates right back to the heart of where we have to keep working, and that's that key issue of growth for not only the tax base of our population and growing our population slow and steady, but also taking care of businesses. And to my opponent's point, small business is a great engine for development within our communities. We have a lot of great small businesses here in Carroll, as well as larger businesses. Right now, they're trying to find people to fill their positions. We need workforce, but we don't just need those small business entrepreneurs. We need good, average, run-of-the-mill people who can support and sustain these businesses. We need the service industry folks who can come in, do the jobs that we need so that we don't have small businesses closing up and going elsewhere.
Thank you. Jerry Fleshner.
The question to me just boils down to geography. Des Moines in the center of the state, it's the state capital. There should be no surprise that that area would grow relative to Carroll, Iowa. But Carroll, Iowa can be its own unique growth area, and that is because of geography. We're far enough away from Des Moines that we're not going to be pulled into that sphere that of influence that they have. And some of the things that we can do to assist that, one is to keep ourselves on the cutting edge of technology as a city, which we have done in the past. And another thing we could do, I think, that may come in up in the future is that there is a distinct possibility. I see one county supervisor here that there will be some need to maintain ourselves as being a center for government, and we need to work with the county system to remain a county seat town if we ever go to regionalization, and that's a concern of mine.
Thank you. Okay, the next question, and this will go to all four of you. Clay Haley, you will be the first to answer. What is your budget priority for this next term, including any priority projects?
We've laid out a capital improvement budget that outlines our projects. We've worked with individual consultants to make sure that we have very good, tight plans to not only perform our projects, but to fund them and fund them at a minimal cost to the taxpayer. Our studies try to keep the current tax rate levy steady where it's at. Since I've been in office, I was doing some research. This has actually declined slightly, and so has people's taxes that they paid in overall. This is not something that I believe we can always maintain, but hopefully we can keep taxes as low and as reasonable while sustaining growth in the community.
Thank you. Gene Ludwig. What is your budget priority for this next term, including any priority projects?
Yes, I've taken a look at the 2016 priority list, and the city garage is an important part of that, as well as a maintenance garage. And then, of course, the rec center would be an ongoing project.
Thank you. Jerry Fleshner.
My budget priority for the next term would be kind of a small one, and that is that I would like to see air conditioning put into one of the shelter houses in town, because I've seen more than one person go into these things in the middle of the summer and they're sweltering. And I think that this is something that we could improve the city with. I know it's a minor thing, but it's certainly something that I plan to bring forth during our planning session as being a priority item for me. And that's a small improvement, but it's something that can improve our park system, and I have an idea in mind that 1 minute won't do justice for.
Thank you. Dr. Jensen, your budget priority.
Over the last 4 years as a council person, and then these last two as mayor, my priority, and I think a lot of us had agreed on the council, that we're trying to maintain a fairly steady a tax rate. So, and over the last 6 years, we varied within about a nickel of about, I think we're at $11.28. Trying to keep that yet steady so that there isn't the waving of the fluctuations of taxes. Some of the other, and as far as projects, The city maintenance garage is another one of those that I think that I would like to see coming forward to get that going. We have a lot of equipment. We have a lot of taxpayers' money invested in equipment. And to see that on an annual basis sitting outside and weathering is a significant loss, I think, to the city. And, I'd like to see more of that protected. And that was the whole idea behind trying to get that city maintenance garage a little bit bigger than what we got.
Thank you. Okay. This will also be a question for all of you. For safety reasons, trains are to blow a whistle before crossings, making a noise that some dislike. Where do you stand on this issue? And Dr. Jensen, you'll be the first to answer.
I've lived in Carroll since 1976, and I've heard that train many times. We did have a study several years ago with regards to train noise. I think what we have to make sure that what we're looking at is a differentiation between train horn and train noise. Right now, you're not ever going to get rid of train noise. Sitting down there listening to the cars go across the tracks, that's just impossible to get away from. Train horns, on the other hand, is a possibility, but it can be, right now, the plans that we have, it can be either very inexpensive but very inconvenient for businesses downtown, or it can be very expensive, and we, the city, then have to maintain the tracks. And I think there's going to have to be some sort of a compromise. I understand listening to train horns, but I also sit down there in businesses, and you can't get rid of the train noise. It's difficult to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerry Fleshner, regarding trains.
Regarding trains, remember that the train came here first. The town decided to build around the trains. So people already expected train noise, I guess. I understand that it would be great to not have any train noise, but the price tag is north of $500,000, I believe, for a low-cost fix for that. And is that accurate? Yeah. Okay. That'd be the high-cost one. But anyway, spending $500,000 on that issue does not seem to be something that I would prioritize. First of all, we would have to close an intersection in town that carries over 600 cars a day of traffic, and I view that as significant. Several local businesses would have their parking disrupted, and I'd love to have the noise be lower, but not at that cost.
Thank you. Clay Haley.
Well, as mentioned, we have studied train horn noise, and I do feel, and from listening to the people throughout town, there is a large desire to reduce train horn noise in Carroll. I think one of the really important things to recall is that as a lifelong citizen of Carroll, and we have several here with us today, we are used to that train horn noise. I've been here since 09. I've gotten accustomed to it. However, attracting new people in is difficult. People who move to the community are put off by the train horn noise. Business people who come to do business here in Carroll notice the train horn noise. I think we've got a lot of work to do to work together with the local businesses that will be affected by train horn mitigation. And we've got a lot of work budgetarily to make it work. We're going to have to work hard on that one, but I think we do need to address it.
Thank you. Jean Ludwig.
It's a project that I need to study more about, I can see where maintaining the intersections by the city could possibly include some liability that we also would have to be very careful about.
Thank you. The next question is regarding the election as a whole, and it's a little bit longer. I will not read it in between each of you. With low voter turnout expected, as there is just one competitive race on the ballot here in the Carroll City election, there are many concerns that a quiet, behind-the-scenes write-in campaign could be waged to wrest control of City Hall for any number of motivations. Do you have any evidence or concerns that a write-in campaign is underway? And do you have thoughts on what, if successful, such an effort would mean for Carroll to have people not running publicly wind up on council seats? And we're going to begin this time with Gene Ludwig.
I don't know of any kind of project like that. I certainly would certainly hope that it would not be a true problem to have. I know of nothing about it.
Thank you. Dr. Jensen.
I've not heard anything formal, just more of a rumor than anything. I'm not aware of anything that is occurring. I think it would be rather distasteful to the citizens of the community to have individuals pursuing that. I understand it is a right for someone to be a write-in candidate, but if there is an active pursuit by an individual or group, to not be able to have those individuals sitting up here and discussing these issues is a detriment to the democracy of Carroll. And I abhor totalitarianism, and I don't believe that that needs to be rearing its ugly head in Carroll. If any of this is true, I think it would be rather distasteful, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerry Fleshner.
I'm going to agree with Eric that if someone did want to run an active campaign of that nature, that it would be fair for them to come forth as soon as possible to allow them to share with the public their ideas. But with that said, people have their right to vote as they choose. I don't think we can do much about voter turnout. That's just something that we cannot change ourselves. But I've even myself voted a few times for a write-in. So I'm not going to deny someone's ability to do that on their ballot. But I just plan to make myself be a convincing candidate for the public, someone that you will find as an attractive candidate that will be someone that knows that I'll be fair to you.
Thank you. Clay Haley.
Well, I get to pull up the tail on this one, and Ward 3, we've got two very good qualified candidates. Gene, thank you for getting out and running. When I started with my council pursuits, there was a very limited amount of people running. We have good people interested and engaged. If others wish to come out and run a write-in campaign, that's their right, for sure. That said, this community is better than that. We deserve better than that. Get out fast. If you're going to do it, please let the people know who you are and where you stand so they can make an educated vote. This town's better than that.
Thank you. And we have a real change in topic now, and this will be a quick question for each of you. A question from the audience. Are there any rules regarding pets, especially dogs, that are not trained and become a nuisance in a neighborhood? If not, what can be done? And this time, we are going to begin with Clay Haley.
Oh, no, that's my dog. I would have to revisit the code to accurately answer that. But for the most part, I think people take good care of their animals and keep them within their control and take care of them. It's something I'd have to research to answer further.
Thank you. Gene Ludwig.
Yes, I used to walk at 5 o'clock every morning, and I can say I don't do that anymore, but the dogs are in much better control now than they used to be in those days, and I think that people take good care to pick up after their animals and keep them in control.
Dr. Jensen.
Could you repeat that question again one more time?
Are there any rules regarding pets, especially dogs, that aren't trained and become a nuisance in a neighborhood? If not, what can be done?
We changed our rules, our ordinance with regards to the vicious dogs. I think that it is the responsibility of the pet owners to make sure that their dogs are under control. Myself, as a dog owner and dog lover or cat owner, I don't have a cat, but I had a dog. I had a beautiful dog. And I took time out of my schedule to make sure that the dog was well-behaved, trained him very well. And I think it, as far as I think the city having to get to that extent where beyond the vicious dog, I don't know if I'm ready to step beyond that. I think the owners need to take some responsibility for their pets and make sure that they are trained and keep track of them. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerry Fleshner.
If you're trying to play stump the candidate, you, whoever that came up with that was a great question, because I'll admit, too, I do not know what the nuisance laws are regarding pets. I do know what the vicious dog rules and contain, because we've had to go through some unfortunate cases here in the city already. But I wrote down here, that's the first thing I'm going to check on, is pet nuisance laws in the town. Do I think we need nuisance laws? I guess they would be come under ordinances, possibly, that we already have on the books, and I certainly plan to check on it as soon as I can.
Thank you. And we are nearing the time that we will begin our closing statements. Thank you to all of you for answering the wide variety of questions this evening. And so you'll each have 1 minute for a closing statement, and because we started on the table, end of the table closest to me for the opening statements, we're going to start with Jerry Fleshner for our closing statements. So, Jerry.
Well, I want to thank Shannon and Trish, first of all, for moderating this event tonight. It's fantastic that we have things like this. Every seat should be filled in here. I wish it was. And that goes back to one of our questions about voter apathy. It is really too bad, especially the youth in the town that are not committing themselves to looking at the issues. But I'm really appreciative of the Chamber of Commerce to making this available for everybody. The Chamber does a lot for the town, and this is one great event that they hold. As you can tell from the great variety of questions asked this evening, we got a lot of things going on in town. In a perfect world, being on the city council would be an easy job. It's certainly not. We've got a lot of decisions to make, and just hearing these questions reminds me of all the different things that we have going on in the town, and many more that we didn't even have time for. But anyway, I do recognize that as a city government, we're responsible for a great deal of our public funds, and I don't take that responsibility lightly.
Thank you. Dr. Eric Jensen.
Yes, thank you to the CADC, thank you to the radio station and the press for being here. Thank you to each and every one of you for showing up tonight and taking time out of your schedule. One of the things that I forgot to mention, my wife. She's been at my side for a long time. There are times at home that gets a little tough with the schedule that we keep, and I just appreciate what she's done to support me and my family. Sorry, I get a little verklempt at times. I've been a lifelong resident of Carroll as much as I can. I did go out to take a lot of time to get some education to bring that back to Carroll. I continue to support Carroll wherever I go. I love the town. I love the community. I love the people that live here. And I'm going to continue to work as hard as I can to make sure Carroll is at the top. Thank you.
Thank you. Jean Ludwig.
Well, thanks to the Carroll Community School, too, for hosting this event. But now I also want to thank the citizens who've spent this hour with us. Now I have an assignment for you grandparents, parents, aunts, and uncles. Over Thanksgiving and Christmas, you will be seeing many of your distant family members. Talk to them about time. Encourage them to think about getting more time in their lives by moving their businesses back to Carroll or one of the surrounding communities. When we have good jobs to offer, we will attract good workers to Carroll. When we have better jobs to offer, the wages for all will need to rise to keep employees. We need good jobs that will raise all wages. I need your vote if you live in Ward 3. Please consider voting for me. For those who wish to bring their family members back to the area and have the name of a company or a person to contact, please get together to meet with me, and I will see that the Carroll Area Development Corporation or the Chamber gets together with them. Again, thank you for your time. It's a very special commodity.
Clay Haley.
Well, once again, my name is Clay Haley. I am your current Ward 3 City Council person, and that's my privilege. That's my honor to serve each and every one of you. Thank you all who came out tonight, all of you who are out there listening and who will review the media coverage to follow. Carroll's a great place. Our biggest challenge moving forward is to continue growing our workforce. That ties into housing. That ties into development of our region. That is part of being competitive with the big cities and bringing people back here to Carroll. Carroll is a great place. Together we can all continue to make it a great place to live and a better place to live in a responsible fashion. Please, please get out and vote November 7th. Vote your mind, vote for whoever you like, but if you live in Ward 3, please vote for me. Thank you.
Thank you. And at this time, I will turn the forum back over to Shannon.
Thank you, Trish. And good job, candidates, for not having any of the questions in advance. You guys all did a great job really letting us know what you think and where you stand. We appreciate that. I get to continue with the thank yous. Thanks for those who attended, those who listened, those who sent in questions, the school for the facility, Carroll Broadcasting for the live coverage of the event, the Daily Times Herald for continuing to stay involved with the issues and bring them to us, Trish for moderating, Hubert for timekeeping, and I want to just quickly go through the Chamber of Commerce Legislative Committee that gets together to prepare these events. Our chairman, Joel Lundstrom, John Brocklesby, Rob Cordes, Hubert Hageman, Jerry Jansen, Greg Knowles, Trish Roberts, and Ed Smith. We did have several questions that came forward, and we didn't get time to get to those. So we really encourage those of you that had questions to reach out to these candidates. I think they're all very willing to take the time and have the conversation with you to educate you as to their position. We also want to say thanks for listening to KIC 106.7 FM to educate yourselves. And also, get out and vote, as was stated tonight. You know, that is it's a right, it's a privilege of all of ours. The election coming up on November 7th is your time to voice your opinion, but also there are early ballots available. So please be part of that process and take part in the election. And I will leave you with those words. And again, thank you for being part of our event. Thank you. Good job.